you were along for the... Everybody had a job here, but you were just, Mark, were just along for the ride.
What did you mean by that?
Because it's not my body. Because I had to sit there and watch my wife suffer, and physically she was the one taking the brunt of all this. So, you know, you can only... You can't love and support enough, but you can't feel it because physically it's not me. So I was along for the ride. I was along to watch what she was doing and how she, I said there was great courage and inspiration because she really stepped up to the plate. And it's a major, major surgery and a major event that takes place in your life. It's adversity. And so, you know, you try to take that adversity and turn it around and take and work it to your advantage. But I was just kind of observing everything. And that's in the writing. That's all I was doing was my perspective on what we were going through and the type of person she was handling it, and hoping that I was tapping into it enough to be as supportive and loving as possible, because that's the purpose of the title. It takes two, because it does take more than one person to get through it. It's tough, and she gave up two to beat cancer.
There is a Martina McBride song that's special to the two of you. You write about that. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's your one of your favorite songs.
One of your
remember
songs?
That song?
I Will Love You All Through It. Is that?
Yeah,
I'm
going to love you through it. It's just a song about a woman who has breast cancer, and it's really your. I mean, it's a man's point of view.
Right.
How he's going to love her through.
Yeah, that he's going to be there for her, because it is important. You have to have that support. I can't imagine, God forbid, Debbie having to go through it alone, or without someone close by to take care of her. And,
so for a husband or a father or a boyfriend who may be about to go through this or is going through this, what advice would you offer them?
Love and support, and do what you can, because it's the most female of issues, and it's so prevalent. I mean, you're talking 1 in 8, but the biggest thing you can do is be there for them and try to tap into it as the best you can, because it we can't feel it because it's not part of our anatomy. But you need to emotionally be there, physically do what you can to help. And the reason I wrote the book is because I wanted to tell the story. It's not an advice book. It's not, these are the 10 steps you should do. That's not what this is about. But a lot of times, stories sell in terms of, hey, I gained hope and inspiration from someone else going through this. I experienced it. I can certainly write about it because I lived it and we lived it. So that's where the, I guess, expertise would come, because we lived it. But I'm not trying to offer tips and advice except to say that you should do what any normal person should do, which is be there for them. We actually went to an appointment. She got nipple tattoos done at Little Vinny's in Finksburg. And I know it sounds funny every time you say it, but he's a wonder. He's an artist.
And I understand he does a lot of work with breast cancer survivors.
Yes, and
that's
he's...
That's all he does.
That's all he does.
He doesn't do any normal tattooing anymore. Just as the nipple and areola tattooing.
Okay.
And he's world-renowned. He goes to New Orleans, right, once every month.
Yeah.
But it's amazing transformation that takes place, and it's the last piece that actually makes the woman feel whole. But my point of the story is that Vinny told us stories about women that he's working on, and the husbands or boyfriends are sitting right outside, and he said to them, do you want then him to come in? And he told us one story where the woman said, well, no, he'll stay out there because he hasn't even looked at me since I was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
So there is... Some guys, I think, have a trouble tapping into it, maybe being supportive because they don't understand it and they can't wrap their head around it. And other people that it's just difficult when it happens. They're like, well, my wife lost her breast, so maybe that's the one, or girlfriend, that's the one thing that was attracting me to them, and so I'm out. As harsh as that is to say, it does happen. It does happen. But it's, you want to be, you need to be there for them, and you need to... make sure that, hold their hand.
It's
and,
more than a physical recovery.
Right,
it's definitely emotional. An emotional. Probably more so. I mean, physical pain goes away. You recover from that. It's emotional, I think, more than anything.
If I get too personal here, forgive me, but is there anything that Mark didn't do that you would have liked him to do? And is there any, if you want to give advice to other husbands, if your wife is going through breast cancer, you...
He didn't clean out the refrigerator when people brought food over.
Okay, that'll do it.
That went bad.
I get that complaint, and my wife is perfectly healthy. Yeah, so
no, nothing. He was amazing. He truly was. He was a great caretaker. He always made me feel beautiful. Never made me feel that he didn't think I was just as attractive as I was before. Not that I ever was attractive.
You guys have been married 16 years, 17 years, is it?
16.
16, yeah, okay. And what advice would you have for, their husband going through this? I'll ask you the same question I asked Mark. Debbie, what advice would you give them to?
More than anything, just to be there emotionally and make them know that you love them no matter what and that they're still beautiful to you, basically.
I mean, I really think that it is. It's the emotional journey. It's the fact that that emotional part of it really never ends because you're always a breast cancer survivor, right? It's always the way that you'll be labeled, and it's part of your future.
And pink becomes the color of the house, I would imagine, right? I mean,
yeah.
pretty much. Like that.
This month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so it's we're getting the message out. I'm doing a number of book signings and other interviews, and as a way to talk about the book, but also to say that this is something that I'm very passionate about, and the 1 in 8 needs to go away. I mean, the recovery, if it's caught early, 98%. 5 years plus, but the fact that 1 in 8 women are still have a chance of being diagnosed with breast cancer is just, that's off the charts. And somehow, some way, you need to find a way to deal with that because, there is no magic pill. So it's either you're going to sacrifice something. You'll either go through chemotherapy, radiation, have something cut out or cut off, or you die. Those are the choices.
Sophie and Emily, I know you were motioning to your mom. Do you guys want to say anything? Is there anything you want to talk about this year, what it's been like for you guys, the way your dad is, what's gone through your mom being sick and getting better and also your dad helping her out?
Well, basically, this year has been a recovery. Everything's been fine. And, my dad started to write a book, and it's all been kind of like relieving, and we're all proud of him, and it's just a happy ending to a sad story. I'm proud of her too, obviously. I mean, she survived. So, yeah.
What do you think you've all learned? What's the biggest lesson you guys have learned this last year? And Emily, feel free to jump in, my dear.
It's just like you have to appreciate everything, because I mean, that's kind of like stereotypical. But, like, everybody says, like, you never realize what you've had until it's gone. And luckily we still have what we have. But, like, it's scary going through that kind of stuff.